a story real quick. Before I do, on my message, I guess sound weird, but I'm going to talk about the word fog, which is spelled F-O-G. Nothing to it. It's just when I wrote my sermon, the outline, basically, that's how it came across. F-O-G. Each letters represent one of my points. And so we're going to start with the letter F, and we're going to say what that stands for. But before that, let me tell you a story. There's a hiker that set out to climb a mountain, a trail, with a heavy backpack on his shoulders. Inside the backpack were rocks, each one labeled with something from his past. Failure, regret, shame, what people said about him, and what he should have done differently in his past. As the trail became steeper, he noticed hikers passing him by. He pushed harder, but every step became more difficult. Exhausted, he decided to sit down on the side of the path. And as he sat down, older hikers stopped and asked him, "Why are you carrying all those rocks?" The man replied, "They're part of my story. I can't just leave them behind." The older hiker said, "You don't have to pretend they never happened. You just can't carry them where you're going." One by one, the man took the rocks out of his backpack and set them beside the trail. The memories remained, but the weight was gone. He stood up again, and he discovered he could finally move forward freely again. The first letter in the word fog is to be F, which stands for forget. Have you ever done something dumb? I'm sorry, Miss Devers pointed at me. What happened? Yes. Sorry, go to class. I'm sorry, this is my first time doing this. So yes, kids, if you have class, you may go to class. Absolutely, I'm sorry. She's waving me down. She's like, "I don't want to hear this preaching. Praise the Lord." All right. She got out of this. Hey, praise the Lord. Anyone else want to leave the class with her? No, I'm just kidding. Have you guys ever done something dumb? Hopefully I'm not the only one. But have you ever done something dumb or something to where you just, it was so embarrassing, you're just like, "I just want to forget this," right? You're like, "I don't want to relive that moment," or just to where like at that moment you're like, "I just want to die. You know, Lord, come back. Just let it be over." Have you ever done something dumb? Have you ever been hurt by someone? Have you ever been betrayed? Have you ever had someone lie to you to your face? Maybe a sibling, a parent, a brother, a sister, a friend, a pastor. Have you ever gone through life and just had the worst day ever? Now let me ask this, have you ever hurt someone? Have you ever lied to someone? Have you ever betrayed somebody? Have you ever gone about your life and just straight out lied to someone to their face, knowing that that lie was gonna hurt them in the future? If you're like me, I've done some of those things. And to be honest, whenever I think of those memories, I still feel the weight of it, to where what has been done to me or what I've done to others. And if you look at Philippians 3:13, it says, this is Paul talking, he says, "Brethren, I count on myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." If anyone knows about Paul, he was a Christian here, but at the time, Paul was a persecutor of Christians. If you were a Christian living at the time of this, before this, understand to where there's a good chance Paul, if he knew where you're at, you're going to die. Paul was a man, he described himself being the worst of the Christians. He killed other Christians. He killed other people. Not only is that murder, but once again, he's going after specifically Christians. If you weren't a Christian, you were safe in his eyes. Paul said, listen, what he was saying is, I cannot be who I need to be for God now if I focus on what I've done back then. And you guys all have probably heard the illustration of a car, right? If you look at a car, it has a big windshield, right? I mean, it's huge. And the car also has three mirrors, the side, the other side, and the middle. And you know, if you were to stare at the mirrors, which show where you've been and where you're coming from, I'll be honest, if you stare at the mirrors and when you're driving a car, trying to go to your destination, you're not going to make it very far. Before you get into an accident, you're not going to know when to turn, and you're going to crash. You'll probably go to the hospital, but you're not going to get where you need to get. Well, also the same a principle to where if you just stare forward and don't use your mirrors, you have a good chance of making it, but guess what? You're trying to merge into a different lane. If you try to go into a different intersection, there's a good chance you might hit somebody. You might hit, all of a sudden you're merging lanes, all of a sudden if you don't use your mirrors, you're going to hit somebody, right? And even though it's easier to get where you're trying to go, you still have a good chance of crashing, getting into an accident. We all have parts of our life to where we regret and to where we've done dumb things have happened to us. And we cannot, sometimes we try, but to where, sometimes we can't forget, right? And sometimes to where you ever had an image in your mind to where you're like, man, I wish I could forget this image. I don't know why this is, but you know, when you're in school, let's say you're back in high school and you're studying for a test and you can't remember for squat, right? You're just trying your best and you're studying for hours and you just cannot figure out this information. But sometimes when you see something you're not supposed to see, when you do something you're not supposed to do, you can remember that. And you could be 50 years old, and I know I'm not that age yet, but you can ask anyone, you could be 50 years old and all of a sudden, a memory from way back then. It's like, yeah, photographic memory, right? I mean, I wish I had that, but for things I regret, I can remember that. And our past is so focused on, it so often just hinders us, and it's a hard memory to want to have. But despite our past, we need to use our past to learn from it, to use wisdom. I have a saying that goes, a fail is only a fail when you don't learn from it the first time. We need to do our best to not to hold on to our past, not to carry with where we're going. But listen, use your past. Use the mistakes, use the hurt, use everything to help you go forward. Just like the mirrors in the car, don't stare at it. Don't just focus on it, but use it. Hey, when you're going through life, use what you've learned. Use the hurt, use that to go forward. And also, I know obviously part of life, as I'm sure many of us have been through, to where it's hard, right? To where it hurts. And I know healing is required. But just whatever you do, do your best to be able to not carry that with you and to use it to go forward better. Point number two, if you guys can go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. It says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. If you focus on the first verse, it said the Lord God commanded him, saying, and listen to this, it says, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. When God created the garden, he said, listen, you have all this opportunity. You don't have to eat of every tree. God said, there's only one tree you cannot eat of. But God said, listen, I've created a world of opportunity. Take from that. There's a story of a lady, a true story, to where these people want to do a test. And if you guys know anything, if you guys ever watched a movie to, let's say, there's gunshots or whatever the case is, and it looks real, it's just makeup. People these days, especially in Hollywood and whatnot, they have a way just to make a wound looks so real, and it's fake, it's makeup, they just put something on it. But these guys, they brought this lady, said, listen, we're gonna do a test. They didn't tell her what they were doing, but they said, we're gonna put a scar on your forehead, and obviously with the makeup and everything, they said, and so they start putting the scar on her forehead, and they wanna see their interaction, and they told her that, we just wanna see how people treat you. And so they go work on the scar, and all of a sudden they take a mirror and they show, hey, we're done, what do you think? And they show her, once again, it's on her forehead, it's so obvious. And she's like, my goodness, that looks amazing. She's like, okay. And they said, listen, we're gonna do last few finishing touches, and then we'll put you into a room with about 5-10 people and talk to them for about 10 minutes. They took the mirror, turned it backwards, and when they went to do the last few finishing touches, they took off the scar. Now, she didn't know about it. They took it off. And when they said, all right, we're finished, they put it into the mirror. Once again, she has no idea the scar was taken off. And she was in there for about 10 minutes, and they brought her back into the other room privately and said, okay, how was your interaction? And she said, you know what? I don't know what it was, but people just kept staring at my scar. She said, they wouldn't say anything, but I could feel the judgment. They could say, it's on my forehead. They were saying something about it. And it just, I felt so awkward. And they said, ma'am, they said, you don't have a scar on your forehead. She said, what? She said, yeah, we took it off. And sometimes that's how life is. When you focus on the bad, you will always see mostly bad. And when good comes, sometimes it comes so fast you forget about it. When the garden happened, obviously, to where God said, listen, I created a world opportunity. If we were in the garden, and if all you do is focus on the one tree you can't eat, you're never going to see the trees around you can't eat. You're never going to enjoy it. Have you ever had a desire to do something, especially as a kid? I know probably multiple, some of us in this room probably had a desire to be an athlete, right? To be professional at sport. I know I have. To where we said, I really want to do this, but we never got to do it. We never got to do it. We have these desires in our heart, and just like I said, God's created a world opportunity. If you go to your Bibles, open up Psalms chapter 37, Psalms 37, verse 4. Psalms 37, verse 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of thy heart. Now, with this not saying, listen, whatever desire you have in your heart, God's give it to you. No. But when you do your best to obey God, you do your absolute best to live right, to live for him, the desires you have, God's going to change them. And God's going to change the things that he wants. And when God gives you these desires, as we all have, and I believe everyone here, I believe we're all doing our best to live for God. If you have a desire in your heart right now, there's a good opportunity, there's a good possibility that, hey, God's put that in your heart, but we're not doing anything about it. Go to Proverbs 22, verse 29. Proverbs 22, 29. If I can get there. Proverbs 22, 29 says, seest thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before mean men. And when you had this desire in your heart to where, listen, once again, don't focus on what you can't do, focus on the opportunities God's already given to you around you. And once again, if you are doing your best to live for God, there's probably a desire in your heart right now that you're like, hey, I would love to do this, but we're not doing anything about it. Just because the desire you have may not seem important or possible, or might not be what others might want you to do, doesn't mean it's not there for a reason. God doesn't want dreamers, God wants doers. And if you want to look at people in the Bible to where they had desire to say, hey, I want this, and they went after it. You look at Jacob. As we know the story, Jacob wanted to marry Rachel. And he said, I'm going to work 7 years for Rachel. Now, I'm not sure anyone in this day and age would do that. But Jacob said, I want to marry Rachel. And he told the man, Rachel's father, he said, hey, I'll work for you 7 years. And as we know, after 7 years, guess what? The father gave him the older daughter. It wasn't Rachel. And so imagine being married to the person you don't want to marry. And then Jacob said, I'll work another 7 years for Rachel. And I don't know how that works. Every time I think about it, how can you marry two sisters? That just seems messed up. But okay, hey, he got what he wanted. But he had a desire. He said, hey, I want this. It's a good thing. And he went after it and he worked for it. Then we take in the Bible Nehemiah, who was a cupbearer for the king. And when he heard that the walls of Jerusalem were broken down, the desire he had in his heart changed, and he wanted the help. Now, don't get me wrong, to be a cupbearer for a king, it can't just be anybody. Once again, if people want to try to poison the king, whatever the case is, hey, who's going to die first? The cupbearer. It has to be someone the king trusts. And he said he wanted to do this, and he prayed and fasted about it, and guess what? God opened the door opportunity for him to do that, and he was able to go help Jerusalem. Peter, in the Bible, had the desire to walk on water. I don't know anyone here who's ever done that. And standing on a case of water does not count. And even though when he did that, he doubted and he still fell. He didn't doubt when he stepped out of the boat. He didn't doubt halfway through. He doubted when he's staying close to God. But he had the desire. All disciples, when God said, come, walk on water, none of the other disciples said that. Said, hey, I'm going to come. Can I come too? They didn't have the desire. And listen, when he did that, it wasn't anything maybe special. Yeah, no one got saved for him walking on water. But he said, hey, I want to do this. My Lord's doing it. I want to be closer to him. And he did that because he had this desire. Then there's also the woman with the blood issue of 12 years. She had a blood issue of 12 years. And I'm not sure the extent of it, but I'm sure it could probably put her to her deathbed sooner. And she said, you know what? God's around. If I can just touch his garments, I'll be made whole. She believed. And she had the desire. I want to be made whole. And she went. And guess what? She touched Jesus' garment and was made whole. Learn to observe and focus on the opportunities in your life right now and see what you can do about them. Once again, God doesn't want dreamers, he wants doers. So first we learn to forget, then we're gonna learn to observe, and now the last point I wanna say for Jesus, give glory to God. In 1 Corinthians 10, 31, it says, whatsoever ye do, whatsoever therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God, no matter what it is, big or small. If you might say, oh, this is important, this is not important, if you have the desire that God's put in your heart, do you have a desire? And once again, doesn't mean it has to be something big. Doesn't mean, oh, I'm going out to go preach necessarily. It can just be something simple, something you want. And go out and do it. And when you do that, find, hey, how can I give glory to God while I do this? And Colossians 3:23 says, and whatsoever you do, do heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. When you go out there to do something that's on your heart, give your best. Give God your best and give God glory for it. But once again, you can't, it's gonna be hard to impossibly go out there to succeed in this world, to do something great, if we are carrying the baggage from our past. And I guarantee you, everyone in this room, to an extent, has baggage. And I know for a fact, the last couple of years, I've been through stuff too where it really carried a lot of baggage, but I had to learn, I have to let go of that. I use it to go forward. I use it for wisdom, but I don't dwell on it. I don't let it control my life. I don't let it live rent-free in my head. And I want to encourage you, first of all, if that is you to where you do have this, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it's easy. There's a saying that goes, how can you forgive what you can't forget? And how can you forget when your heart still feels the pain? And that's a very true statement. But God wants us to be able to move on. And once again, get healing if you need it. Get healing. And I know it's a process. But first of all, learn to leave your past and learn from it. Number two, observe. If you're so focused on, if you've ever met someone to where they always have all those bad things that happen in their life, they probably have a lot more good. But when you focus on the bad, you're always going to see the bad. You'll never learn to be thankful. And you'll always have more bad than what you're thankful for. And number three, when you do go out there to chase that desire, that passion God's put in your heart, give glory to God. Understand, hey, the reason I can do this today is because of God. So that's what I want to talk to you guys about today. I hope I can help you. I know it's something that I'm currently just having to learn to do better at. And we're going to pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this day. I just want to pray that the rest of the services today will go well. I just want to thank you for being a good God to us. I want to pray you would help us to be able to move forward with the pain of our past. And you help us to observe the opportunities you have before us and observe to do better. And I just want to pray that also will give glory to you, because you're the one that allows us to do what we can do. We love you, and in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you're dismissed.